You know, it wasn't until the 19th century when books became readily available, especially for the low income. I grew up with books. I loved to read. In fact, I would find corners where mom and dad couldn't find me because I wanted to read. And they always had one more chore for me to do. But for thousands of years, we told our stories around campfires, in the halls of kings and queens, and in the mud huts in the heart of Africa. There's something about a story that's told, and there's something sacred about a story that's heard. In these conversations, I'm just trying to provide a time and space to hear the stories of people around me. I knew each person before we sat down to speak and to listen, but I always came away from each conversation with a deeper appreciation and a deeper admiration for a person I already appreciated and admired. I hope you enjoy these conversations, and I hope you feel inspired to provide a space and time to hear the stories of others. Welcome to these unfiltered conversations. Well, this afternoon, I'm with Katie Sonner. Katie, how long have we known each other?
Oh, my goodness, Myron.
I mean, so where does this interaction connection begin?
Well, unbeknownst probably to both of us, it probably started when I was in high school. Well, wait, how long have you... Have you always gone the electric brew?
No.
Something that I don't know.
Yeah, Joni Brenna started in 96. We bought it in 2007.
Oh.
So we were over at the other place across the street.
Okay.
2007. We moved here in 2013.
Okay. So you and I probably met around that time. I was living in Wauparusa and working at the Elkhart County Courthouse in the clerk's office for Superior Courts 1 and 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I was in high school, we used to go to the electric brew.
Okay.
This would have been like 1998, around the time that I got my driver's license. And that was the place to hang out.
You graduated?
2000. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, in 2013, working in Elkhart and living in Wauparusa, I didn't come to Goshen as much. But when I started painting houses for a living, that would probably be the time that I started coming to the brew to get coffee.
Okay, yeah. I sort of remember if I had to sort of connect things that you did and are, you know, why I got to know you, it would have been the painting. It would have been the one there. You also worked at GB Coffee.
I did, from 2018.
Which was first?
So I'll start. So my food service career started at Kelly J's Cafe in 2011. I was the bartender when they opened their Kelly J's next door. Yeah. And I was there for a relatively short time and then went to Constant Spring after that through 2013. Until 2013, yeah. And then after that, I stopped to do house painting full-time and then got back into food service working at Rua in Warsaw.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you ever went
there.
That was so good.
Times. Are they still existing?
No, they're not.
I thought maybe.
During COVID, they started doing catering only.
Okay.
And then they've sold their business. And then after that, so 2018 is when I started working at GB Co. And that was through summer of 2020, so 2 years there.
Okay. So you mentioned you were you lived in Wauparusa.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you were? Is that where you came?
Yes. From... I think up until I was 10 years old, had a Goshen zip code, but lived between County Roads 9 and 11 off of County Road 38 on a farm. And that was a good time.
Those are some good ones.
Yeah, a farm girl, we weren't necessarily a working farm. My dad did cultivate some crops. I remember as a kid, I think maybe 5 years old or something like that, we would go out and he would give us, I don't know, a few cents a weed. But we would go out there and pick velvet weed from the rows of soybeans.
Yeah.
Not corn, because we were too small and they would probably lose us. I just remember coming back to the porch. We had this western-facing open concrete porch. We would just come up there with our piles of velvet weed. we thought it was the coolest thing. Anyway...
And you saved all that money, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%. I'm actually independently wealthy. Oh. I just don't talk about it.
Yeah, of course.
So I grew up on a farm, Goshen address, 46526. and then moved to Wakarusa when I was 10. Started the fifth grade at Wakarusa Elementary, the first class of that new elementary school over there. Very exciting for us and for me. And then lived there until I went off to school, to college.
And college was?
College was at Gordon College. It's a small, non-denominational liberal arts school on the North Shore of Massachusetts.
Is that a Quaker?
Not a Quaker, just non-denominational.
Okay.
All Christianity in general.
Okay.
So that seems random.
I have a longtime family friend who went there. She was a year ahead of me in school, and I wasn't particularly ambitious in applying to colleges. I don't know why. I think it's just that it's that stage in life where I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but that was what you do is for my family anyways, go to college, that's next. So I went and stayed with her for a weekend, and I really liked it. I mean, it's the East Coast. I'd never been. Just seeing Boston for the first time, really cool, rocky cliffs, and it's just everything's so old there. Well, you know what I mean.
Sure.
I mean, so it's the coast. Yeah, it feels old. So that's where I went. I didn't apply to any other schools. I just ended up going there.
Well, fortunately, you were accepted there.
Yeah.
So what did you say? What was your major?
I majored in Spanish. I got a BA in Spanish. And I think my intention at some point was to teach. Decided not to do that. Later on, decided maybe I wouldn't be an interpreter. Also decided not to do that. And so I've gotten to use it throughout the years. It's benefited me greatly, and it's been an honor to be able to converse in another language with people, and also especially when I'm able to help them navigate government. Working at the clerk's office, I was able to use it a lot, and then here in working at City Hall now. So
I was going to ask, do you use it a lot?
Yeah.
In your current position?
Probably a couple times a week.
Okay.
Probably a couple times a week.
So you still
feel very comfortable with Spanish?
I feel comfortable with the accent that I have, and I am proud of it, but my vocabulary has declined significantly.
You used to lose it, right?
Yeah, it's really true. But I really like languages, too. Have you ever used Duolingo?
I played with it a little bit.
Okay. Do you speak any other languages?
I'm Chinese. Yeah.
No way! Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, so this story's not about me. It's your story. But we lived in Costa Rica for a year. And we lived in Ecuador for about 5.5 years.
Wow.
Our daughter-in-law is from Ecuador. And, of course, she speaks fluent Spanish.
Right.
And all of our grandkids, except for one, are bilingual. So our family time is already messed up and becomes the languages. At least Spanish and English kind of just came
together. And so, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, cool.
So I guess we both learned something about each other.
Yeah, we could. That's so fun. Maybe we could, just when we see each other, we'll just speak in Spanish
and just talk
practice. About absolutely, because that's what's happening when someone else is speaking in a different language. They're just talking about you.
So should I
laugh, right?
Yeah, there goes.
Yes, especially.
Okay, so.
Okay, anyway.
No surprise.
Right, it's gonna probably a few times.
Yeah.
Okay, fire away.
Yeah. So back in Wakarusa.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So you, I'm just trying to get a timeline. So you moved to Wakarusa.
Yeah. Off the farm. Off the farm, and lived there all the way up until I went to school in Massachusetts.
And it was in town.
It was in town.
In
yes, on Waterford Street.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So what? Tell me about your childhood. What was special about your childhood? What was your favorite childhood?
Oh, wow. I think a couple things stand out. One would be going to my mom's parents' house in Indianapolis. My grandma would always let us eat like Cap'n Crunch and Tree Pebbles. My dad's a dentist, so we didn't really have any like sugary cereals around. But hanging out there was the best. We would watch the Lawrence Welk show and Hee Haw, and I don't know, you know. And I learned the rules of golf because my grandpa would watch a lot of golf.
Okay.
So
do you play golf?
No, I don't. I don't play golf, but I can tell you about Jack Nicklaus and Artie Moeller.
Okay,
so,
sure, yeah.
Another favorite memory would be camping. We did a lot of camping. And I think the third one would be, wow, I feel a lot of cool memories. This is fun to talk about. Would be taking vacations to Colorado. We would go to Winter Park, Colorado in the summer and at spring break. And we would, if it was summertime, we would go on the Alpine Slide, which is just an 1,100-foot concrete slide that you go down in a cart and hope you don't fly off the sides or hit a chipmunk.
Wow.
And then in the winter, we would go skiing. And those were some of the coolest memories for me.
And this was as a family, your family?
Yeah, as a family. I do have one funny story about ski school.
Well,
I don't know if you have time, for this, but I was in level 5 ski school, and there are three or four gradients of ski run. There's green, which is easy. There's blue, intermediate, blue, black, and then black, which is just all moguls all the time, or very steep and icy. And I was in group 5, but I ended up riding up the ski lift with the rest of my group members, and we all got to talking, and they were like, what's your favorite run to warm up on? And these kids are just like, oh, you know, blues, blue blacks. And I'm like, uh-oh. And somebody was like, moguls, definitely moguls. And I'm like, well, I don't know what's happening, but this doesn't sound good. And we got to the top, and the first run we went down was just some huge mogul run, and I'd never done moguls in my life. So I fell about 62 times, and I get to like nearly halfway down the run, and the ski instructor comes up there, and they're like, we should probably put you into a new group. And I was like 4? And she's like, no, like 7. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, what group, what level is this? She said, this is 8+. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be in 5. So I got to the bottom of the run, finally, and everybody cheered.
She's alive.
Yeah.
Thanks to the So how many, I know you have at least one sister.
Yeah, I have 2 younger sisters.
So
I'm the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was there growing up with
2 sisters.
In retrospect, I am the luckiest person to have the sisters that I have. I didn't appreciate that until I was in my 20s, probably. We are decently far apart in age. From my middle sister, we're 3.5 years apart, and then from my youngest, we're 6.5 years apart.
Okay.
Six years apart, mm-hmm. Just about. So we have great relationships now, and we like to do stuff together. I think we had some really good memories as kids too, but it wasn't always the case.
What was the hardest thing in your childhood, in growing up, what was one of the hardest things you've
kind of tackled?
I think the hardest thing would be just family dynamics. My parents went through a divorce when I was 15, and that was just a difficult time in general. Navigating that in the moment, you just sort of respond to the event and you deal with it at the time, but it just, I don't know. It's definitely a marked change.
Mm-hmm.
Not that everything was perfect before that or something like that. And, but yeah, the balance definitely shifted from then. And then you start to, I think I started to realize that life is really complex. And that wasn't really the first time that I realized life was complex. I think I'm actually going to take back what I just said. I think the hardest thing I ever overcame was when my mom's mom died. She was really young. She was only 64. And she just died in her sleep. And that was my first experience with grief. And it took a long time to understand that those things just happen. And it was, I don't know, just gives you the sense that you have no control over life at all.
Yeah, I think for me, those kinds of moments, they were always things that happened to someone else. And one day you wake up and think, well, I am that someone else.
Yeah.
That was shocking for me, different events in life, where you think, well, that never happens to me.
Right.
And was that part of that whole thing is waking up and thinking, wow, I am that someone else, and when this invaded my life.
Yeah, it was just a moment of disbelief. I came home and I was with my best friend at the time. Her name was also Katie. In school, we were Katie S and Katie C, or Katie 1 and Katie 2. She was
thing one and thing two.
Barely, very nearly. So we came back to my house. She was supposed to spend the night that night. It was a Friday night. And we got home and my mom said, you guys just go play at the park. So we did, but I knew something was wrong. And so when we came back, my mom told me that Grandma Richie had died. And I do remember, a moment of total disbelief and thinking, well, surely she means her grandma. But I knew her grandma had already passed away. It took a long time to accept that that was my grandma and that I wouldn't see her again. And the thing that still stands out to me the most about that moment, besides that and the shock, was that my friend Katie was like, does that mean I can't spend the night? The level of empathy that 10-year-olds have, like, I suppose we have capacity for great empathy, but in that moment it was like, bummer, like, you know, my plans are wrecked.
Grandma ruined
her.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't
a moment of grief for her.
No.
So, I mean, let's play.
She was grieving our lack of, like, friend time, which is, I think, probably equally as important in those early years as grandparents.
Are you still friends with you?
We are friends on Facebook.
Okay. Well,
I guess that
counts. We haven't spoken in over 20 years, but yeah. So.
Oh, those are moments, like you say, they just leave a mark on you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's not
necessarily bad, but it's a mark.
But they do mark, they mark the passage of time. And it's a transition, a big transitional moment.
And it does inform your future.
It does. Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. There have been times where I have decided that, and just to kind of put that out of my mind and just put things off because I'm invincible and I'll have all the time in the world. And then there are those seize the day moments where you're like, actually, I don't know what I have. And yeah.
So you're a wise 30-something.
41.
41.
Yeah.
Well,
now that the...
I tried to do the math.
Math.
What would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Oh, my God.
The piece of wisdom from this end of the 40 to your 18-year-old self.
Probably that it's okay to take time to make a decision. And that it's important to figure out what you want for yourself and that you don't actually have to know that either. So it's simultaneously important to listen to your heart, right? But that you also, it's okay to be open to possibility, that there are many different paths that your life could take and there's not one that's right. Or maybe there is, but that it's important that it's right for you. And that you're doing what you're doing for yourself and not for someone else.
So did you not take the time?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. But I didn't know. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've been using this phrase a lot, but I'm not sure I'm using it in the right context. The youth is wasted on the young. I think there are probably many different scenarios that you could use that in, but I mean, hindsight's 20/20, right? You can't know that you're making a decision too quickly or that you're making a decision for someone else. Sometimes until you look back on it.
And yet here you are.
Yeah.
And you are
who you are because of those.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do it differently too, and that's the thing.
Isn't that
so maybe that would, I don't know, maybe that's not the advice I'd give myself.
Isn't that the irony of it though?
Yeah.
We're sort of okay with where we are.
Yeah.
But we sort of regret
decisions that we made that make us who we are.
Yes.
And so you can't have it both ways.
No, you can't. I don't think you can. So maybe, and not that I still wouldn't give that advice, but maybe that, maybe just with the decisions that I make to give myself a little more grace and also not to be so hard on myself oops, sorry, I'm talking outside of the mic, but not to be so, not everything is do or die or black and white. Oh man, if we could have a discussion about, like, I'm not talking about like ethics or morals, I'm just talking about there are a lot of ways to live. And there are a lot of truths, and not everything is. Just because we have all these societal constructs about things doesn't mean that there aren't other alternatives or like ways of living or whatever.
Yeah, I think the older I get, the more gray I see.
Yeah.
Good or bad, they're not.
It's a good thing, I think.
I think that's just the way it is. So, what's the proudest accomplishment you've had in life? Looking back 40 years, we say, this is what I'm the proudest of.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to say one thing and then that probably won't be it. And I don't want to say this is on a superficial level, but there was one time when I lived in Spain and I was having a conversation with somebody from Spain, and they asked me where I was from, and I said Indiana, and they were like, no, seriously though, where are you from? Like, where are you from here? I was like, no, I'm really from Indiana, but I was proud of that. I was proud to be able to communicate in a way that I sounded like I was from there. My proudest accomplishment, though, I don't know if that's it.
I mean, it is.
It's pretty cool, I thought.
I mean, you learned a second language to the point that you pass for a...
Yeah.
For an Espanol.
Yeah.
Espanola.
Sí, verdad? Yeah. If something else comes up, okay. That I think of...
Sure, we can backtrack anytime.
Okay.
So maybe you already answered the question, but if you could never live in the United States again, what country would you choose?
Oh, I just want to go where the castles are.
Castles.
Like, just castles.
Europe,
anywhere. Yep, just castles. Just give me a castle. No map, but also, like, can we have, like, an exit strategy, of course. Like, I don't want to get lost somewhere and, like, never make it out.
So what is it about castles? Why do you castles?
I think from reading, like, the Chronicles of Narnia or something like that. I don't even know if there was a lot of castles in Chronicles of Narnia.
Well, I mean, it's written in a way that should be castles.
Yeah. And I've always liked England. There are castles in Spain, though, too.
I think most of Europe would have castles of sorts.
Yeah.
Maybe to different degrees.
I was talking about this recently with a friend, but have you ever listened to the comedian Eddie Izzard?
No.
Okay, well, there's just a little bit where they were talking about Europe, and... they said, you know, where the history comes from. It was just like, he's like, we're up to here with fucking, I'm sorry, we're up to here with fucking castles. It makes me laugh because it's commonplace to people who live in those areas. But for us, it's like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, we look at the courthouse up here and it's ancient, right?
Yeah.
And you go to Europe and that's like.
Yes, right. Perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. If you could spend 2 hours sharing a meal with one person, dead or alive, just because you'd want to glean something from a conversation, who would that person be? A hero, a mentor, or just someone you admire?
The first thing that comes to mind would be my grandma that I lost when I was 10. My dad's mom... passed away this January, and you think you have time to ask people questions. That's the point of this question, I guess. You think you have time to ask people questions, and you think you have time to get to know somebody, or maybe you're afraid to ask questions for whatever reason. Maybe it's an uncomfortable topic, but then the person dies and you don't. You'll never know again, because what was in their mind is lost. So when you were talking about the reason why you wanted to do this non-podcast podcast and have conversations with people is just about that. Like, the oral history is, it's just that, it's oral. And I didn't get to have conversations with my grandma, that when my mom was mom, that I would have liked to have had, but then the irony is I started having some of those conversations with my dad's mom, but never really got to the level that I would have liked to. And it's just, I don't think there was an intentional reason behind it. It was just a lack of initiative on my part. And I don't even know what questions I'd want to ask her. I don't even know if she'd have answers that would. But I don't think it's about me getting something from it. It's just taking the time to know somebody better that's part of my history and that I loved very much.
Yeah, both of my parents are gone, and I find myself sometimes in a circumstance thinking, oh, I really wish I could ask Mom. I wish I could ask Dad. You know, it's like, why didn't, you know, but those questions were never important until
they are.
Yeah, until they are. And they're not important until it's too late often. And then you ask yourself, so why didn't I sit down and ask my dad or my mom 1,000 questions who brilliantly recorded and so on? But my kids probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
I should have asked Dad this.
Yeah.
And maybe we should have
an entire conversation on why we don't
value those things and why they're valuable
when it's too late. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the wake-up call, is that now it's too late. I don't.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It really challenges my idea of why I choose. And maybe this is, I'll say this differently. Why it's difficult to be courageous sometimes in your conversations with people. For me, sometimes what they might think of me for asking the question keeps me from asking the question. Or maybe it's hard to share something about my life. But we don't really have much to lose in the end. Not as much as we think we do sometimes.
We probably don't have anything to lose.
No.
And maybe a lot to gain.
It's probably that, just that, yeah. Because what's the point of having relationships if they can't be more authentic? But also, too, I mean, we're just learning. And also, oftentimes, too, we're unlearning everything that we were taught when we were young. Or not, maybe not unlearning it, but figuring out if it actually is what we value, you know?
That's an interesting way of putting what happens as you get older, whatever getting older is, whether it's 16 or 20 or 30 or 60, you know, whatever it is. I think maybe it's like going to college and you start the first year thinking of everything the second year, but then you graduate, you understand what you don't know.
Yeah.
And then so it becomes this multi-perspective
on one thing.
Yeah.
That you thought you had figured out,
and then you see 10 different perspectives on it, and you think, well, what was I thinking, or really, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the unlearning that we have to
go through.
Yeah. Me, it's like the process of scientific inquiry and realizing that everything's just a hypothesis or a theory, and things can always change with new information, and being receptive to that.
But the risk is?
The risk is you have a total identity crisis and then have nervous breakdown, for example. You know, like...
Well, lemon dark pretty quick.
You can count on me. I think...
No, I know it was true, though.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you never wrestle with what you have believed.
Yeah.
You never go anywhere different, and you never have that crisis, that questioning. But as soon as you pull the Jenga block out,
and then,
you know, you risk the Jenga falling.
And then.
And what's the downside of that? What's the upside of that?
And then.
It's complicated.
But the reality at the end of the day, well, I guess it depends on what you believe, of course, or how you approach things. But that is the constant in life, is that change will always happen. So the outcome was always going to be that the Jenga tower falls. Right? Like, you can't really get away from that. You can ignore it or cope in ways that allows you to not see it, I guess.
I guess the upside then is when the Jenga tower falls.
Yeah,
you get to rebuild.
Yeah,
and maybe that's the point.
Yeah.
Until it falls again, and then you rebuild it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the beauty of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
we're free.
Heck yeah, we are. I think we're averse to change for many reasons. Probably like back to our, I almost said medieval, but I mean like our prehistoric like brains. I won't get into that because I'm not actually a scientist. I'm trying to be, but I'm not.
How you fake it?
You're an ancient person.
Yeah.
Which agree with Ocean?
Oh my goodness. And I am coming at this from a perspective of having worked for the city of Goshen for 11 months. But for Goshen, just building on the community that's already here in a way that makes everything, like all the activities and all the stuff that we do and that people want to participate in, accessible and available to everyone who actually lives here. Demographics change over time, people's needs change over time, and even the languages that we speak in this town, we have a lot of languages that we speak in this town, and making all the cool stuff that's here accessible to everybody that actually lives here would be great, because then you could actually have, I mean, we have an excellent community here, but we also have many smaller communities too. And I guess I can't really speak to that too, because I'm a part of certain communities in the town. I also don't live here either anymore. I lived here for a short time in the late 2010s. What do you call that? 2010s?
Sure.
How does that work?
2010s.
Yeah. Also, too, just to see what's important to all the different groups of people, it's just a hard question to answer. But, like, some groups really value our parks and natural spaces, and some groups are looking for, like community spaces, like community centers and activities and stuff like for ages, you know, for like younger kids all the way up to like our senior citizens and stuff like that. I don't know, just a place where people can live their whole life and still be part of something, I guess. It's pretty broad, but
I mean, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good. So if your friends introduce you to someone else and they say, Katie is, in what words would they use this descriptive brand? So this is who Katie is.
That's a fun question to answer. I think how long does a pause have to be before you edit it out? I'm just kidding.
Just say something stupid.
Right.
It's all good.
I think I do like to laugh. It's funny. I want to say a good listener, but sometimes I'm not. And then maybe funny. I am kind of funny, depending on who's listening. I'm total nerd, like a total geek. Let me just, if we could start this whole answer over, I would say Katie is super into birds.
Birds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently I like birds. I'm in school to be a wildlife biologist and hopefully a raptor biologist. So
this is
the part where I turn every single conversation I ever have into the fact that I love owls and eagles and hawks. Thanks, everyone.
Well, it works. Yeah.
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 Anything else on this anymore?
Just curious in general. And I don't know. I think there's probably more, but I can't think of anything right now.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Thank you. A book recommendation.
Oh, Finding the Mother Tree by Dr. Suzanne Simard.
finding the one.
Dr. Suzanne Simard. It's S as in Sam, I M as in Mary, A R D.
Okay, and why? What was special about that book?
She talks about the two things, I guess. And you know what's funny? I started reading it here in the Electric Brew, and I was downstairs sitting at a table with a friend, and the introduction itself just captured me. It's just about the connections between different organisms, specifically Douglas fir trees and other trees, and those connections as they're made by mycorrhizae, so like fungal networks. And it was a memoir too, so it was a story about her life and her journey as a scientist. But it was just really cool. Like, we think we know things, but there's always more to learn. And specifically, I definitely geeked out on the science aspect of it. I hadn't started school at that time, but I was really interested in her experimental process and things like that. The book was actually, or her work was actually the inspiration for that scene in Avatar when all of the people go to their like mother tree and kind of like plug into it at one point. And that was inspired by her research. Okay. She just found that the fungal networks transported resources and nutrients in between trees, but not just the same species of tree. So in nature, even organisms work together. Now, I suppose it's probably just a question of natural selection, and that it's so, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to speak to her work specifically, but I like to think about nature as being intentional, but a lot of times that's not really how it works. It's just whoever survives to the next generation, that's whatever processes that's working for that to happen is what's working the best. But
whoever survives gets to plug into the tree.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, yeah.
Anything else you want to tell
us, me?
Because the whole world would be listening.
The whole world. Yeah, no, that's very cool. I really appreciate the reminder that how important conversations are and how important it is to move outside of ourselves and just connect with another person, because especially because of what we've been talking about and not knowing what kind of time we have or the quality of time that we're going to have. And not to be like negative about it, it's just one of those things. It's like that's reality.
Is it negative or just reality?
I don't think it is reality. I think because we spend our lives in so many different ways avoiding death.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just speak for myself that we don't want to. I don't want to do things out of fear, but I also want to appreciate. That was a weird statement to make. I don't want to just have conversations with people because I'm afraid they're going to die. Because we're just going to die. That's going to happen. But I want to get to know people that I want to get to know. And also, not be afraid to ask the hard questions. If I really want to know the answer to something, someone's willing to answer it. And I want to know that about that person. There's, and not to be a little more cliche, but there really is no time like the present, because that's what we got.
Yeah. So why not end it?
Sounds good.
Katie, it has been an absolute
pleasure again. We've had some conversations in the past, but never like this, and it's just been a real pleasure to spend
a little bit of time.
Likewise, thank you for asking me to do this.
Yeah, it's
my pleasure.
We had a conversation. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Continue to be reminded that everyone has a story that needs to be told. Take a moment today to listen to someone's story and tell yours as well. Be well, and make your world just a bit better today.